welcome to another episode of Rajneeti by Money Control, where we gain some insights on some ongoing political issues. Today we are going to talk about the continued standoff between India and China that began on May 5th, 2020 at Galwan Valley in eastern Ladakh. To discuss this, we have Jabin Jacob, an associate professor at Department of International Relations and Governance Studies at the Shivnadar University. He also writes opinion pieces for Money Control. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, Krishna. Happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you. So as we speak today, we read that India and China have agreed on a five-point plan to resolve border tension. Today we read a press release that the foreign ministers had met on September 10th at Moscow and discussed these points. What is your view on this? Will it be a solid solution to the problem?
Well, the record so far suggests that there isn't, or we shouldn't have hold much hope by these agreements. The very fact that agreements of long standing were violated in the last few months by China suggests that they don't take these agreements seriously. If they are trying to seek a new kind of status quo, well, that is unacceptable to India. So, that being the case, I'm not sure what these parleys are going to achieve. We have to understand that the Chinese system has a very different set of calculations from the Indian side.
Right. And also, this is another news that we hear is that the army is still strengthening on either side. So how will things change in the next 2 months as winter sets in?
Exactly. So, if the armies are building up on both sides, that's another reason for us to understand or to infer that these agreements are really not going anywhere and that it's all about holding your ground or holding as much ground as you possibly can. Now, the question of winter, I mean, it's already quite tough out there. I mean, these soldiers are already at very difficult conditions. They are sitting on the ridge line. So it starts just cold because of the, because it's getting to winter, but there's also the wind. And that just, means that the temperature drops several degrees again. So it's already pretty hard. And it looks like, as in Doklam, the Chinese sort of stayed through the winter in the last couple of years. So also in these heights that we are now looking at a situation where both sets of troops will now need to be stationed permanently through the winter. We have experience of this in Siachen, of course. And now it looks like we will have to now repeat that experience on the disputed boundary with China. But this is not going to be easy. I think given the fact that the soldiers are at close proximity, they are within sight of each other. It is quite a task to ensure that things remain calm and that, things don't get out of control.
While we are still on the same topic, are there any chances of a full-fledged war in the near future or further down the line?
That's a tricky question. My sense is neither side wants full-fledged war for different reasons. The Chinese can't afford to be seen as being engaged in a conflict with India, which they consider a lesser power. And their focus is on the United States. With India, with Vietnam, with Japan, the idea is to signal that, China is a big boy in the room and everybody had better behave. So that's the sort of attitude they carry. And to actually fight with India, then the implication for the Chinese side would be that they had to win or they had to be seen as winning decisively because they have the better military, they are the more developed economic power. So all of those factors would mean that if they get into something with India, they should not be seen as losing. And that's not guaranteed. For Indians, it's just holding our positions would be a victory in itself, given, the superiority of the Chinese in terms of resources and access from their side to the LAC. So I don't see, a conflict breaking out soon. There will be something like like we have on the LOC. I mean, this LAC is likely to be pretty hot in the coming years. I call this a new normal. Troops will run into each other. There'll be fisticuffs. There'll be physical fights. There might even be casualties. but this is now likely to be the future.
And would you say that this is also because of the pandemic, because we are in the middle of the pandemic, so we may not see anything in the near future?
Well, you know, with or without the pandemic, I think this sort of a clash was coming. The nature of the LAC had changed considerably over the last 10, 15 years, 20 years, in fact. So I think we were coming to this point of the relationship in any case. Then the Chinese had built up infrastructure. They had the superiority in infrastructure. But even though the Indians were behind, the Indians were managing to reach practically everywhere on the LAC and to stymie the Chinese from going further, even with with the advances in infrastructure that they had over the last couple of decades. So the Chinese saw that even though they had the superior infrastructure, they were not able to do anything about it. So they had to move at some point to make the impact of that superior infrastructure felt. And this is what they have done. So this clash was coming. The pandemic might have just contributed to timing. Whether the pandemic will prevent a full-fledged conflict, I don't think the pandemic is a consideration here. There are much larger considerations besides the pandemic. The state of US-China relations, the state of India-US relations, and how the Chinese perceive that relationship, all of those will be factors.
Right. And also, what kind of a role will Pakistan play, if any? I mean, will they interfere in the standoff?
Look, I think Pakistan's role can be overstated. The Pakistanis have already been doing what they been doing, and as much as they can do. And India has pretty much sorted that issue out. I mean, they will send in terrorists. They will probably do a bit of shelling on the LOC. But we are pretty much aware of what they might be able to do. The question is about China-Pakistan collusion. And even here, I don't think this collusion is as easy as people often make it out to be. The Chinese and the Pakistanis might have a very close political relationship, very close military relationship. But whether that has reached the level of joint operations is another question. I don't think that is yet the case, nor do I think that the Chinese trust the Pakistanis so much. Plus, look, if the Chinese think they're the superior power, it would look bad on them if they had to rely on the Pakistanis to sort of take care of their problem. So, no, I think internally also within China, there is a requirement that the PLA does this by itself. The PLA gets practice, training, call it what you will, in what Xi Jinping called a real combat. So I think that is a more important consideration here than the Pakistan factor. For India, of course, two-front conflict is what we always knew would be the situation. And I think we are pretty much prepared for that. We might not be able to prosecute it endlessly, but this is something that we are prepared in our heads for.
Right. And you spoke a lot about the fact that China wants to maintain its image, that it will be able to tackle itself. But what about the Chinese citizens? What do they know of the standoff that's currently happening?
Look, by and large, the Chinese citizen, the average Chinese citizen, knows what his government is telling him. They aren't particularly concerned about China's relationship with neighbors in Asia, perhaps with the exception of Japan. The Chinese Communist Party's focus has always been on the United States, and that really is the benchmark for all Chinese citizens. Having said that, obviously, the Chinese now know that there is a situation on the border. There might be questions also about, hey, how did we get into this conflict with India? I mean, where did this come from? Before you knew it, this is the first combat casualties that the Chinese have suffered, in a long time. So questions might have been asked about, if the US is the big problem, how is it that we are losing soldiers on the front with India? But these are all questions that, Chinese citizens might ask, but we should not make the mistake of assuming that the Chinese government or the Chinese Communist Party is under any sort of threat. The Chinese political system calibrates these outbreaks of, shall we call it, of public opinion. if we see bad language about India, bad language about India's leaders increasing in the Chinese press, as opposed to, say, the Global Times. I mean, the Global Times doesn't matter. Global Times is meant for foreign audiences. But if we see that happening in the Chinese press, in the People's Daily, for example, or in party outlets, then we have to be concerned, or we have to start paying attention. But as of now, I don't think this is a big deal for the Chinese citizen.
One last question, which is slightly unrelated. It's about the pandemic. And we're reading a lot of opinion pieces which are suggesting that China will face serious consequences from all the countries after the pandemic when it ends, because it was very secretive about the virus. And in your opinion piece, in fact, you had mentioned that China had distributed defective PPE kits. And they will face consequences for this. But how will India act on this?
Look, I don't think we should overstate the consequences China will face. I mean, the pandemic is done, and China has also managed to sort of turn the narrative around as not just a case of origin of the pandemic, but also the way governments have handled it. And that, on that front, China has made itself look pretty good, you know, compared to how the United States is doing, or compared to how we have handled the pandemic in India. So I think that's going to be the takeaway for many governments, that, all right, you know, crises will come, at any point of time, but the question is about how you handle those crises. And on that front, really, India and the United States have a very poor record. So that is what the Chinese are going to play on. And they are already using that as part of their propaganda outreach in many parts of the world. See, on defective kits and testing kits or PPE equipment, I think the Chinese were also very quick to notice that this was bad for their image, and they fixed it. They actually clamped down on their producers trying to make a quick buck, and they improved the situation. But now this is no longer the big issue. The big issue is now about economic recovery and how China can contribute to economic recovery. And the United States certainly isn't. India certainly is not in a position. So countries will now need to also keep the Chinese on their side. The Chinese are willing to spend money still. They're still talking about supporting globalization. So in a way, the Chinese have made good use of this crisis. I mean, they have turned the crisis into an opportunity to a large extent, which is more than can be said about, say, the Europeans or the Indians or the Americans. So I think, we should not go overboard thinking China is going to be at the receiving end once the pandemic is over. Once the pandemic is over, China might very well be in a position to take advantage of many things.
Okay. Thank you so much for these insights, sir.
Thank you, Ketana. Been a pleasure.
With that, it's a wrap on this episode of Rajneeti. If you have any other queries or suggestions, or if you want us to cover any other topic, please do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. You can also catch us on Twitter at moneycontrol.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.